Pastor Ken too was he's got a certificate called exhortation from school. Well, where's God? Well, we're going to persevere or are we going to give up? Well, turn in your Bibles with me, please, to Matthew 10:22, and then Galatians 6:9. We had such a wonderful time praying here last night. Saturate this place with the anointing of God, the power of God. And we believe that things are going to happen. Actually are happening. The power of God is here now. You change your life and you go home happy. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We had a great time last night. Good to welcome Mikey. He's in the house. Everybody say, Mikey's in the house. Amen. Praise God. And you know, I just saw their ad, Facebook announcement. They just got engaged. Whoa! And they're looking really shiny and happy. And he that endures to the end shall be saved. That's my scripture tonight. I don't know why I have that. Maybe it's because Mike's in the house. And anyway, congratulations. And there's a lot to congratulate. We'll let him know on Sunday, too, because there's a lot of folks out here. Our topic is on perseverance. And the title is, and we mentioned, Don't Quit. And the rest of it is your faith will see you through. Don't quit. Your faith will see you through. Matthew 10:22, the latter portion of that scripture, says that, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Everybody say endureth. You know, the word endures means that you don't give up. You don't quit because things are tough and it looks rough. And Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary. That's being tired. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Because so many people sometimes, you know, you get tired of just standing and doing things, doing the same thing. People say, well, why should I tithe? Why should I go to church? Why should I give? Why should I help? And that never, it doesn't seem to be helping me. But something is happening. For in due season, everybody said due season. Due season. You know what due season is? Somebody said this. Like, it's always when it's not happening in your life. It's later than what you want. Due season. So there is a season. The Bible says when you've done something and you're doing something, due season means something's about to happen. Something's going to happen. Everybody say, something's happening. Everybody says, something is happening. So it says, we shall reap. Now, it gives you a little extra in the bottom there. It says, if we faint not. If we faint not. So are you going to faint or are you going to persevere? So that's the question tonight. It's easy to give up. There's all kinds of trouble. And it's easy to, the easiest thing is to quit. You might not understand everything all the time. You might not see any answers for a long time. And I like what Mark had to say Sunday about swimming. About if your ship is going to wreck, what are you going to do? You're going to swim. What if there's sharks? Well, you're right on top of them. You keep swimming. Yeah, hopefully there's no sharks. But I like to, you know, I'm a teacher, so evangelists can say all those things. But you have to explain it. You know, that's preaching, right? Preaching is like you just say all these things, you know, wake us, we can do this, we can run here, praise God, we can, you know, run, put out, grab the snake, you know, right, it's gone. You know, But how do you actually do that? That's the different thing. That's my job. I'm supposed to explain those things, but I don't know what I'm doing half the time. Anyway. But it says if we faint not. So there's an if there that you'll reap if. Now, let me just say, this is kind of a thought that I'm suggesting to you. Faith is believing God in spite of appearances. Faith is believing God in spite of appearance. It doesn't matter what you see before you. You're still going to believe God. You could also say obeying God. Faith is obeying God in spite of consequences. So you might tithe and you might not have any money that week, but you're going to still do it. Because you believe that's what God wants you to do. And God always makes it up to you. And you might give an offering, maybe when you didn't want to. Maybe you're going to take time off your schedule because you love to go to camp and you're going to take time of 3 weeks and you're going to help the kids, whatever. But God will make it up. And so so faith is believing in spite of appearance and obeying God in spite of consequences. So we are saying our proposed idea here tonight is faith and patience will get you what you want, or eventually get you what you want, or get you where you're supposed to be going. Smith Wigglesworth, an apostle of faith, said, "I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. And I'm only moved by the Word of God." There's so many people, they say, "I'm moved by what I see." That's the way they live. If I don't see it, I won't believe it. Show me the money. I'm not moved, you know, by what I feel. You know, so many people are moved by what they feel. When something happens to them, they start acting out all kinds of things. They start acting out their feelings. Well, you're not supposed to act out how you feel. You don't deny your feelings. You straighten them out with the Word of God. I said you straighten out your feelings with the Word of God and make yourself happy. So you know, because this is where the devil gets people. We're going to show you from Scripture here. So just don't quit yet. Endure to the end, as the Scripture, you know, encourages, that Matthew 10:22, that he that endured to the end shall be saved. You could say he that endures to the end shall have his house paid off. Yeah, right? He that endures to the end shall have his diploma. Or you could say anything. He that endures to the end shall, you know, you eventually will have your healing. Stand through all the, you know, the doctor visits and all the things that's going on. You're believing God. I'll show you that sometimes you have to stand a long time. You know, you have to stand a long time in spite of, you might have a setback in your life. Something bad happens, but you still have to stand no matter what happens. Not everybody's going to walk with you all the time. Right? I got people in my family that's not walking with me. I that's not going to move me. I told the Lord when my mother died, I said, I still believe in healing. I'm still going to lay hands on sick. I still believe Mark 16. I still believe when somebody said, "I don't want to receive Jesus," and they cussed me out and told me that's just foolishness. Well, I'm still going to believe Jesus. I'm still going to teach about salvation. I'm still going to believe if somebody didn't get healed. I'm still going to pray when nobody else is praying. Amen? So you have to understand that whatever God told you, you have to continue to follow along. Now, don't quit. The prize is worth waiting for. The prize is worth fighting for. Sometimes life can be tough, and you'll want to quit whatever goal you may have before you. Those that compete the race, in any kind of race, know this one thing. You know, on race day, everybody's all happy. They got their nice Under Armour jackets and shoes, and they're at the race, and they're going to run, you know, a marathon. They just look so good. Everything's all tight, and You know, just they don't shave every hair after whatever their body when they swim. Whatever it is they're doing, right? They'd be faster, but at the end, there's only one winner. Some quit halfway in the marathon. Some don't make it. Some get hurt, whatever. And they're prepared for it. So the race is there. Life is like a race sometimes. You have to keep going. I mean, it's not a race. I mean, you have to endure long, right? It's not like a fast race. It's a marathon. Time and patience has an impact on all of our lives if we want to win. Because when you have to endure, sometimes there's some things to do with time and timing. And sometimes you have some things in your life, you have to develop some character, you have to have some patience. You got to learn how to wait. It impacts us whether we win in this life. Just because we have a plan doesn't automatically mean that you'll qualify, you'll win. You might have a plan. Everybody's got a plan. Mike Tyson says, you know, everybody has a plan before the fight until you first get punched. That's what he says. I read that somewhere. Mike Tyson said that. You know what, Mike, he punched you one time, you're gone. Even still. We have a friend that used to be a boxer. He used to play hockey with us. We'd take him on trips, and he'd do all our fighting for us. And he's that gray now and everything else. I told my friend, now's the time. We can fight him now. He said, oh, no, he's still strong, John. You don't want to touch him. So life can be like a maze. You know what a maze is? You ever been into a maze? You look like you just come from a maze. Yeah. No, I was sorry I was looking at you. I'm looking over there, see. But you know, you don't always know, right? You don't know what the road is like. You kind of turn this way, you're going the wrong way, then you come up against a stop. And so life is like sometimes like a maze, and everything might seem indistinguishable. So you're going to need some patience and continue to run and find the right way, right? So during this time, you'll have to have patience if you're going to make it. So don't become weary. Don't become discouraged in doing good or doing what you're supposed to be doing. You will reap if you don't faint. So everybody said, don't quit in the middle. See, Matthew 10:22 says that he that endures to the end shall be saved. So if you quit in the middle, it will be like you never started the race. Just because you started the race doesn't mean you're going to get the prize. You got to endure to the end. You got to go right to the end until you got your prize. So don't be quick to quit just because you found a tough spot in your life. Quitting in the middle is like never getting started or never started the race. So Jesus said in Matthew 13:24, he said another parable. He said, he put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed seed in his field. Like the kingdom of God is like sowing seed, and that seed has to go on a good ground. It has to be watered, and when it sprouts out, you got to take care of it. You got to continue to water it, take care of it, and it's going to grow. So if you don't sow a seed one day, and all of a sudden, boom, bang, the tree's right there. Like, you know, one of our teachers says, you know, okay, watch this, guys, watch this. An oak tree, I'm going to plant this oak tree. Get out of there, you kids. Yeah, move out of the way. And we're going to put that in, and all of a sudden it grows up. That's not how it is. And yet we're like that in life. We think everything should happen like so fast. We've been coached in life ever since we were young that everything has to be fast. Even when you go to a fast food, you still want it faster. You notice that? He said, "Oh, why? What's wrong with this guy? Why aren't they driving ahead? Like, why is that guy standing there?" And then when you get to your thing, you know, you're going to tell them what you thought, and then you change your mind, thank God. So, he that endures to the end. The word endure, you know, I looked in a dictionary, you can find this out. Dictionary means to hold out To hold out against. It means to sustain without impairment or yielding. So it also means to bear out without resistance. Or bear without resistance or with patience. To bear with patience, to tolerate. You know, sometimes if somebody, insults you, are you able to endure that? You know, so it means to continue to move on ahead. So he said, he that endures to the end shall be saved. What does saved mean? It means to be rescued out of danger, out of harm, out of injury, out of loss. So we don't want to lose anything, because the devil is coming to kill, steal, destroy, and he wants to disturb you from not receiving anything. So, it also means to keep safe. So, let's look at Galatians 6:9 in various translations. You might want to look at the screen to pick this up. So, the Galatians 6:9, and then I believe it's the New Living. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So, that's the King James, sorry. The New Living says, so let us not get tired of doing good. You ever get impatient and get tired? Come church, you know? Oh, man, I got to do this again. I thought we had leadership 2 weeks ago. Oh, you have to sweep the floor again. Oh, man, I did this already. Why don't those guys pick up after themselves? You know, sheep droppings everywhere. Right? And somebody has to pick it up. I have to pick up, you know, Sully, you know, he goes outside, he makes all kinds of mess. I have to go pick it up. Ugh. Warm, you know, and smell, and then everything's all, you know, just fresh, you know, everything's in the cold, just coming right to your nostrils. Ugh. Why did I buy this dog? I'm getting so impatient. And he coughs so much in every way. I look at that little dog today, I said, you know, I love you. He's looking at me, smiling. And so, I learned to love dogs by watching Pastor Ken. He loves those dogs, man. They kiss him and give him a French kiss. Yeah. You know, just wonderful. And I said, So, and I don't know about that French kissing, but I don't mind him. So let's not get tired of doing good. Just as at the right time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. So when times will get tough, you know, times will get tough, and you know it's going to get tough. You might be smooth sailing right now, like, you know, when they get on the ship there, oh man, you get on the ship, you go for a cruise, and all of a sudden you get through a big storm. He said, why did I ever take this tour? You know? And then you get sick, and you're thrown around for a couple of weeks, you know? Okay, so here's what that's the NLT, right? So the Amplified says, let us not lose heart and grow weary. So you lose heart, you get discouraged. Sometimes you get discouraged when times are tough. You know, you believe in God for your healing. It's not here yet. You believe in God for the promotion. You believe in God that somebody might notice you, so that you're a good worker, and it's not happening yet. You're waiting for, you know, whatever it is you're waiting for. And it's easy sometimes to get tired or lose heart or be discouraged and faint. It says, and grow weary, that's what the Amplified says, and faint by acting nobly. So sometimes if you're tired, you're not going to act nobly. And so, for in due time, and at the appointed season, we shall reap. Notice scripture says we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. The Common English Bible says, let's not get tired. Everybody said, let's not get tired. Now watch this. Let's not get tired of doing good. Now, let's not be weary. Let's not get tired. So let me tell you something about the Word of God and about whatever it is you're believing God for, whatever it is you're doing right now. It says, let's not get tired. It's really up to you. You have a choice. You have a decision to make. To tell yourself that I'm not going to get tired. I'm not going to be weary. I'm not going to wear myself. You got a decision to make to not let that problem that you face tire you out. Because the devil is going to come. He's going to discourage you and try to stop you and make you look at or get your mind off the Word of God. Get your mind completely off what God's Word says. And get your mind on looking at what doesn't exist right now. What you don't have. So, it's not time to quit. It says, faint not. Now we see here in Acts chapter 20. Let's go read Acts chapter 20, let's read from verse 16, the New Living Translation. It says, Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus, and he didn't want to spend any more time in the province of Asia. He was hurrying to get to Jerusalem, if possible in time, for the festival of Pentecost. But when he landed in Miletus, he sent a message to the elders of the church at Ephesus, asking them to come to meet him. When they arrived, he declared, "You know, from the day that I set foot in the province of Asia until now, I have done the Lord's work humbly and with many tears. I have endured trials and came to me. Everybody said, "I have endured trials." So Paul is enduring trials. You see, God sent Paul, and yet he endured trials. And every one of us is going to endure. You're going to have to endure trials. You're going to have to put up with stuff and go through the trials, even though God had ordained Paul to go on this trip, to go, and God was with him. God called him. Even though God called him, Jesus Christ appeared to Paul himself, called him into ministry, and yet he had all these situations before him. Now, you know, this is a lesson for us. He says, I have endured trials that came to me from the plots of the Jews. Now, you know, whether people are in your life that's causing you harm. You know, very often, the trials that you have are caused by people around you. Are you here? You know, like, you know, you might be living right, doing right, and everything else, but somebody else in your life, it's causing you some hardship. They're spending money, they're making wrong choices, causing you hardship, keeping you up all night, and keeping you busy with running around trying to put out fires. Maybe that's you, I don't know. Cause lots of fires. He said, I never shrank back. Everybody said, I will not shrink back. See, he said, I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear, neither public or in the homes. I have one message for the Jews and Greeks alike, the necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God, and having faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now I'm bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me. Now, when you're walking with God and doing stuff, you don't always have the true picture, every picture in front of you to tell you what's going to happen next. Now you run into trouble, and then you decide to follow God. And all of a sudden, I just talked to people recently. And said, you know, I don't know why I got all these troubles. I'll tell you why. You're stupid. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say that though. I just said, you know, it happens to everybody, whether we're foolish or not or stupid. But you know, it's better to be smart, right? Because the scriptures does say the foolish person will suffer all these situations, and they cause themselves. So he said, I'm now bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem, and I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me that in city after city, that jail and suffering lie ahead of me. Now, sometimes when we have to endure, the Holy Spirit might tell you to go in a certain direction. He's going to tell you at the same time there's going to be some trouble, so he gets you ready for it. Whether he tells you or not, and whether you experience that, whether you heard the Lord tell you there's going to be trouble, like when the Lord made me or at least told me to go a certain direction. He said to me, there's going to be trouble, but I want you to go this direction. And yet I still forgot what he told me. You understand what I'm saying? The Lord said, you know, okay, take this, do this over here. There's going to be some trouble. And yet I got so caught up in my mess, so caught up in my emotions, I forgot what the Lord told me. And I think maybe some of you have the same thing, that God told you certain things, you know, and you're going through the trial now. You don't think you should, you know. None of us ever, you know, we always say, why did I have to have this? Well, Jesus had them too. Paul had them too. Good people. The Bible says the righteous shall suffer affliction, many afflictions. There shall be many. And so when you're having a trial, it doesn't mean that you're, you know, God's afflicting you or you're, you know, suffering because whatever. I mean, sometimes you're the devil is trying to prevent you from moving on ahead. Sometimes it's yourself. You cause the trouble. Like we always joke around here, you know, I pray for me, the devil's attacked my money. Well, when you examine it, evaluate the whole thing, you find out they're the devil that's attacking their finances. They're the ones that's causing the money problem in their own home, in their own lives. Now you want to cast the devil out. We got to try to figure him out. So, let's read it some more here. I don't know what awaits me, except the Holy Spirit tells me city after city, suffering lie ahead. My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work the Lord assigned by Jesus. They're telling the others about the good news, about the wonderful grace of God. Now I know that none of you whom I preach this kingdom will ever see me again. I declare that I've been faithful to it. If anyone suffers eternal death, it's not my fault, for I didn't shrink from declaring what God wants you to know. So, I mean, he felt he was in clear conscience there, doing what God told him to do. Can any of us say the same thing? Do we shrink back because we had a hard time and say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, I quit because, you know, times got tough in Thunder Bay. I didn't go Wednesday night because there's not enough music there. I didn't go because there's not enough good-looking girls, good-looking men, and they, you know, it wasn't my style. Right? I remember thinking about that, you know, some people like that. They're so cultural that they miss God. They'd rather worship culture than Jesus. Well, I won't get on that, but anyway, so we have to hold fast. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he that is faithful, that promised. So it's easy to let go. Not hold fast, to let go of what you believe in God when you're experiencing tough times. The Bible says hold on to what you have. Hold on to the scriptures, hold on to the faith, hold on to the vision that you got. And then he says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Or the word profession actually is the word confession. That's the correct word, confession. The word confession is actually translated homologio, which means to say the same thing as, or to speak the same thing as God. So you have to say what God says about your life when you're going through the hard time. When you don't have any money, say, thank God. And I was reading Brother Higgins' story, 50 years anniversary, I was reading that. And the hard things that he went through, all the financial, he spent lots of time with no money on the road with his kids suffering and family suffering. And I was reading that one section there. You know, he was just, the Lord told him to go and, you know, teach my people faith. And along the line somewhere, he decided he's going to quit because one day Ken Jr. told him, Dad, why do you have to be away so much? Why can't you be like other dads? Sometimes somebody in your very own family can trip you up and you get right off the will of God. Let me tell you what happened to him. He said, okay, it's too hard. It's too tough out there. I'm alone all the time, traveling all these miles. I'm traveling from hotel to hotel, and I'm preaching the gospel, taking the message of Jesus Christ, the word of faith everywhere. And he decided it was too tough. I'm going to go home. So he went home, and he made preparation. He canceled out all his itinerary for that year, And he went and he started. There was a church that was open, so he applied to this church, and he was going to go and visit these people. And he went to visit. So Sunday morning, while they were visiting this one church, he fell over, had a heart attack. And he had a heart attack. The Lord told him he had a heart attack because he got out of the will of God. He wasn't stealing bank, robbing banks and living immorally. He just didn't obey what God told him to do. And I told you last time, the other one, when he fell over and hurt his elbow, and the doctor said, you know, this is worse than breaking your arm, because we could just put the cast on, set it, but this is worse than that. It'll take longer to heal. We have to put all his ligaments back, and it's going to take a long, long time to heal. So while he's in the hospital, Jesus appears to him and tells him, the reason that you got into that situation is because you didn't obey what I told you to do. Like, hard times get to people, they quit. So the first time was a heart attack, right? The other time was the arm. And Jesus said, if I didn't allow that to happen to you, Satan would have killed you in 2 years. Because you went off track. He said, many of my ministers die early because they allow Satan to enter their lives because of hard times, and then they quit and do whatever they want to do. He that endures to the end. I want to be what God wants me to do. Just because this house is not full right now, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm going to keep preaching God, the word of God. God's going to tell me, what did you do? Everybody else has to answer for themselves. I'm not going to go because I don't agree with you. Whatever, you know. I'm not going to agree because I'm not going to do this because this happened. No, God's going to tell you, what did you do? And I've noticed that certain people, they don't follow God, they get into trouble. Eventually, they get into trouble on the road. Okay, hold fast your profession without wavering. Hold fast means you have to get a grip and hold tightly to what you want to keep in your life. You want to hold fast to your salvation. Hold fast to your peace. One of the hardest things is to fight to keep your peace. Because the devil will come and try to steal your peace. Hebrews 3:14 says, for partakers we have become of Christ, if in the beginning of the confidence, unto the end we may hold fast. So we have to hold fast. That's the Young's literal translation says of that scripture. The New Living Translation of Hebrews 3:14 says, if we are faithful to the end, trusting God, just as firmly as we have when we believed, we will share in what belongs to Christ. So when you first believe, you know, sometimes you start off real strong as a Christian. But things don't always turn out at the end the same thing. You don't always look the same at the end, because whatever affects your life. So Mark 4:17 says about when people receive God's word in their lives, they get happy about stuff. But somehow you get happy, it affects your soul, and you get happy, but sometimes things happen to you that things take you right out. Here's what Mark 4:17 says. Some people have no root in themselves and endure for a time. Afterwards, when affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake. Not when the word's sake means that, you know, sometimes the word of God will try you. The word of God will begin to, you'll try to, walk in some kind of word or promise. Then if that doesn't come to pass right away, you'll quit. They're offended because of the word, the Bible says. Immediately, they're offended. Message Bible says, some are like the seed that lands on gravel. When they first hear the word, they respond with great enthusiasm. But there is such a shallow soul of character, when emotions wear off, some difficulty arrives, there's nothing left to show for it. That happens happens to us. I remember there's times when my pastor told me stuff, I couldn't believe that he would tell me that. I remember Pastor Ken telling me he was pastoring for a short time. How many years was it? A few years. He's pastoring there, one of his congregation members says, "You know, Pastor, you go ahead and tell me whatever you want. If you want to correct me, go ahead." You know, so he took that to heart and took him to the office and said, "Listen, you know, I'm going to help you with this, and this is wrong in your life. So, what? Who do you think you are? God will judge you. You're judging me. God is going to judge you." He said, "Wait a minute. You asked me." You know, so you have to wait for that. So, no, we're not into judging, but sometimes, you know, a pastor has a right to correct your life. I mean, you see that in the scriptures. Read it. And so thank God, because it'll save you lots of trouble. Now, here's Mark 4. I want to show you something. Satan does two things over here. Mark 4:14-20. The sower sows the word. This is the King James. And these are by the wayside when the word is sown, when they have heard, Satan comes immediately. He don't waste no time. He comes immediately, takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These are likewise which are sown among stony ground when they have heard the word, immediately receive with gladness and have no root in themselves to endure, but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. These are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, not only the hard times, but also the good things in life, take them away. They love the bright lights of the city. Whatever that means, you know. They like the nightlife, I guess. Whatever. And so, deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering, choke the word, it becomes unfruitful. These are which are sown among good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. So Satan does two things. First of all, number one, he will do everything to prevent the word of God being planted in your heart. He'll prevent it. Now, we're trying to do everything we can to make sure the word has gone out. We got Facebook. We got, we got the two TV or the websites. You know, we got live stream. We got, we print things out. We have special meetings and all kinds. Make sure we try to get the word of God out. So, first of all, he will prevent people from hearing the word. Second thing he'll do, he will steal the word in your life. Once it's planted, he's going to come against you in that word. He's going to get your mind off what you heard in the word by putting pressure on you and having you experience, you know, any kind of offense or trials and trouble that it brings in your life. Then he'll tell you that, you know, how bad it is and make it bigger than what it actually is. It's not really that big, and seals it. So Luke 5:15 says, "But that on good ground," the King James, "they that are which have an honest and good heart, having heard the word, bring forth fruit with patience." Now it says, "Bring fruit with patience." Notice something here. He says in the beginning of Luke 8:15, King James, "He that is on good ground, which with an honest heart." So you have to be honest about what's happening in your life. You have to be honest, you know, whatever is affecting you, preventing you from doing things, you know, like, be honest with those people around you. That if you have a problem with certain areas, tell people, "Hey, listen, I struggle in this area, and maybe I shouldn't be going with you," and whatever. You can run into trouble. Bring forth fruit with patience. That's what we want to do. We want to bring forth with patience. The scripture says in 2 Peter, verses 5 and 6, that, you know, we need to add to our faith, and one of the things we need to do is learn to develop patience. In a tough time, you have to learn to develop. It's a good time to endure. So we don't cast away our confidence. Hebrews 10:35 says, "Do not cast away your confidence, for you have need of patience." And he goes on to say in verse 39, "The just shall live by faith." So be patient. my dear boy. Let's go ahead and close. We got lots more to say, but let's go ahead and continue to thank God for His Word. We're going to be patient. We're not going to let the Word get crowded out, not to let the Word be stolen from our hearts. And once you hear the Word, you know, meditate on it and say, you know, God, you know, show me something about more about this Word. Don't wait till Sunday. Open your Bible. Go ahead and open up your Bible wherever you are with your, you know, iPhone or whatever, and read the Word at work and when you're having a few minutes when you're allowed to do that. Don't be reading the Word when you're not supposed to, right? At work, because you're not paid to read the Bible there. You're paid to go and work. Do it on your own time. Sometimes people, you know, they know I'm a pastor, they want to hire me, but they're scared I might preach. He's a mean preaching machine. Well, I'll preach, but you know, I'm not gonna. If I'm hired, I'm gonna do what I'm supposed to do. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we want to thank you that tonight that we're whatever it is, we might feel weary, might want to get up, give up. We might want to close curtain. We might have just shut her down. But Lord, we're going to run with patience. We have a choice. We have a choice tonight to run with patience. We have a choice tonight to not be weary. We have a choice, either we do good or not do good. We have a choice tonight. So today we make a choice. We say we're going to follow the Word. We're going to run with patience. And some things we didn't get into tonight. That there's some people wait for a long time for certain things in their lives. We know of Joseph. He suffered hardships that he shouldn't have suffered because other people. And he had a promise from God when he was 17, and when he was 30 years old, it was finally fulfilled in his life. We know of Abraham, how long he waited for his son. And he's an example of a faith that we should endure. So, Father, we want to thank you. And no matter if we believe in God for a healing, it's taking a long time, perhaps. If it's maybe money situations, maybe it's jobs, or maybe it's relationship. Maybe we're impatient with people around us. We're going to just be patient with them. We're going to pray for them. We're going to believe God for them. Maybe they don't have what you have. Maybe they suffer things you didn't suffer. And we're judging them because they are having a difficulty. No, we're going to pray for them. We're believing God for every one of them. We're not going to judge them. We're going to say, God, I want to thank you for my husband. I want to thank you for my son, my daughter, my friend. I want to thank you for granny or grandpa. And so I'm going to bless them and ask you to surround them with faith and love and cover them with the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to claim them for the kingdom. And I'm going to claim what belongs to me, that you said I'll have whatever all my needs met. And I'm going to claim my strength today, that I'm strong in the Lord. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And I put away every thought that would cause me to grow weary. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Weariness is of the devil. I don't want any part of it. I'm not going to burn out. I'm going to keep burning for the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, oh God. Thank you for the anointing. Somebody's being healed right there in their knees right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you for the healing anointing. We're expecting it. We believed it. We prayed for it. We prayed about it last night. Let the healing anointing flow. Monique prayed. Father, she said, Father, grant on your servant with all boldness. We speak your word. But stretch forth your hand to heal. That signs and wonders may be done by the name of Jesus. Stretch forth your hand to heal. Heal. In the name of Jesus, deliverance is here. Power of God is manifest in here. Sore throats are being healed. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Anointing is here, everywhere. Joy of God is here. Ha, ha, ha. Go ahead and laugh out loud. Ha, 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 ha. Don't bottle it up and save it for yourself later. Just go ahead and share it. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, blessed be God forever. Thank you, Lord. Well, I will not quit. Everybody say, I'm not quitting. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Stir yourself up. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, blessed be God forever. Thank you, Lord. I stir myself up. I don't wait for anything. I don't wait for the Spirit of God to touch me. Father, I'm touching Him. I'm going to do it by acting on the Word. I'm going to act like it's true. I'm going to act like the Bible is true. Oh, I'm blessed everywhere. Everywhere I go, I have favor. I thank you, Jesus. Oh, blessed be God. I want to thank you for healing is in my body. It belongs to me. I have it now. I'm not trying to wait for it. I got it. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, oh God. You remember the scripture, you know, in James 1, 2? My brethren, count it all joy, and you'll follow the diverse temptations, tests, and trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith. See, that's where the devil is, the trying of your faith. The word, I think the word trying is the word prosmos or something like that. It means to test by fire, I believe that's what it is. So maybe your faith is being tested right now. There's fire in here right now, amen. and whatever it is that you know, your faith is going to get stand strong. How many of you had some real trials lately? Let me see your hand. You got some real trials. Hallelujah! Get up here right now. We're going to praise God together. I want to praise the Lord with you. Come on up here, with me. Come on, Miss Joanne. Take about 4 or 5 steps. Hallelujah! Take 2 more, Joanne. Just go ahead and take 1 more. Take a step to the side, 1 to the right. Turn around. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands. Start thanking Him right now. Hallelujah. Father, we want to praise You right now. I'm with You, man. I'm standing here with You because I have trials too. Jesus, we thank You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You said, count it all joy when He follows the temptations, tests, and trials. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith will produce perseverance, that you'll endure to the end. Woo! Hallelujah! Your faith has a chance to grow. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He that endures to the end shall have his healing, shall have his new shoes. Amen? Whatever it is you believe in God for. Thank you, Jesus. I want to thank God. Oh, for the partners that's coming in. I want to thank God for the miracles and of healing. Miracles of healing. Somebody's stomach is being healed right now. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody's stomach is being healed right now. Glory to God, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, blessed be God forever. Blessed be God forever. Healing anointing. Healing anointing. Healing anointing. Healing anointing. Glory to God.